And you know, it's a time where God wants to do a lot of things. It's a holiday. It's a time to gather and families come together. And you know, also what God wants to do at a gathering is he always wants to make things right. And so during this time, you know, and as the word begins to come forth, but you know, families, I don't know about you, it's hard to live with people. And you know, families sometimes can have a lot of opposition and a lot of trouble. And it's a time where we are to be those that bring forth healing. Amen? And, you know, I don't know whether you've been hurt, whether things have ever happened, whatever's going on. You know, I think the Lord would say, lay it all down. A lot of things happened to Jesus and every one of the apostles and prophets and everything else. But what God, you know, it's amazing. Whenever I think about Jesus, you know, I mean, they'd be right in his face calling him a demon and everything else, and nothing ever bothered him, and he always went right to the point to help them. And that's where things are solved. I think things are solved, and God is going to do some things. And, you know, God meant family time to be a good time. And in the world, when our family used to get together, it was a crazy time. It would start out with a little bit of celebration, but before the night was over, it turned into hell. All the little flesh would cut loose. And that went on for years until Jesus became Lord, that which he was born for, amen, to be a Savior and a Deliverer and a Prince of Peace. And so this is a time where you can make a difference. I really believe that God can make a difference, even all these guys. How many want to join Gene Challenge, man? We're probably a couple of days too late. These guys got lobster and prime rib. And all these things, they got them served to them. Man, I don't know. I didn't know that. I'd have tried to sneak in the door. Praise God. But the Lord is doing a good thing, and even these guys are going to get a chance to go home. You know, the past is the past. We don't dwell on the past. We don't try to pretend like it never happened. At the same time, you know, God wants you to be able to bring the love of Jesus back into those homes and just the Word of God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today. And, Lord, we just ask that, God, that we could take this time of year. And we know that you came and you were born for a reason. And that reason wasn't just a manger. It was for freedom and life and liberty, forgiveness and healing, restoration, joy, and peace. So, Lord, we just pray that somehow, God, that you would help tune us up for this time that we're coming into, God, and help us to get all the little kinks out and our minds and hearts straightened up with you, that we can walk in your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm excited to get an opportunity. There's always an opportunity to share the Word of God. Brian, he didn't think he was going to be here today. We tried to get him to take this day, but he said he might not be able to be here because he's been taking his dad to all these different things. His dad's been in and out of the hospital, and so we definitely got him coming up. We got him coming up. We're not going to let him worm out of it, right? Praise God. And in the next month, too, Dion, he's going to be... Dion and his wife and the group, they're going to be coming, and they're going to do the worship, and Dion is going to preach a message. Everybody bring your tomatoes so that if it ain't any good, just go ahead and give it to them. How do you like that, Dion? That's encouraging. You know, sometimes pastors, you know, they definitely need to be prayed for, because, you know, pastors have a heart for people. They want people to be able to succeed. And, you know, every time you get up and have an opportunity to preach the gospel, how many know that every time a batter gets up to bat, he don't hit a home run? And boy, I tell you, sometimes when they feel like they didn't quite hit what the people needed, they feel bad. And, you know, you're not going to hit a home run every time. But, you know, the one thing that's positive to me is that God's word never comes back void. And you don't have to feel like something happened because, you know, I don't know about you. I expect God to do something. Not because I'm a great preacher, but because you have needs and we need to walk with the Lord and hear his word. Amen? You know, we're not really good at being traditional. I have to apologize for that. I know that, you know, Christmas is a precious time, and it is for me too. And, you know, when Jesus came, and, you know, like he said, it was prophesied years before he ever came what he's going to come for. And it's such a precious opportunity to remember it and celebrate it and gather during those times and you know, all the things that happen. And so God has so much in what he came for to do. And that was just the beginning. And just like he said, he's going to come again. He's going to come again. And this time he's not going to come as a savior, but he's going to come as a judge. We all know that. And so, you know, in the meantime, I don't know about you, I want God to do some things in my life. I don't want to stay the same. I want to be able to grow. And, you know, Christmas to some people, it's just a celebration. And to others, it's an opportunity to be thankful and grateful and want to press into the Lord. Amen? And so I don't know about you, I think somewhat of celebrating Christmas is to let God get a little bit more control of my heart, my mind, my thoughts, my direction, my purpose. And so with that, we want to share a few things. But, you know, yesterday, you know, we, by the grace of God, you know, we've done a lot of different things around the world. We've never had insurance. We've never had all of these things. But, you know, we got the VA now, and you know, they want to do a checkup every year. And so with that, you know, I don't know, my doctor got hurt, and so it's been almost 2 years. It's been about 18 months, whatever, at least, since we had a checkup. And so finally they said that, you know, come on in and do a checkup. And, you know, they want to make sure that you're healthy. They ask you all kinds of crazy questions. Do you feel safe? Oh, yeah, I feel safe. I don't know if my wife does, but I do, you know. Do you fall down? No. No, those days are over. And you know, but, you know, they're concerned. They're concerned for your welfare. And so I thought about it. You know, I was thinking about it, and you know, I had to make an appointment. And, you know, in our lives, we need to be fixed. We need help. And I think that sometimes what God wants to do is more than just one time. He wants to make an appointment. We got to make an appointment with him. And in that, you know, he wants to fix a lot of the things in our life. It's an ongoing thing. It never ends. We're going to be changed. And so, you know, the Bible says that, you know, there's an appointed time for everything under the sun. And we need to make that appointment with God, to be able to meet with God. We need time to meet with God. And it's really important that, you know, God becomes, you know, he said it. He's right. He can't lie. His word is true, and no matter what happens. And so, you know, I see different ones and different things happening, and we're always trying to encourage people and try to steer them in the right direction. But in John chapter 15 and verse 16, it says this: "You did not choose me, but I chose you." God put a call in our lives. God chose us. And he says, and I appointed you that you would go, get the word, what? Go. In other words, he doesn't want us to stay where we're at. He wants us to go. And he wants us to bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. Now, I don't know about you, but the fruit of the Spirit is a precious thing. He wants us to be able to bear that. And that fruit, you know, it's something that it lasts. And we begin to see that, you know, he said, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And so One of the things as I begin to read this just a little bit, God chose me. You know, I mean, I know that we said, Lord, help me and change me and save me and forgive me. But, you know, God chose each and every one of us. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, you'll have somebody and they've been struggling. They fell down a few times. Man, I got a really hard time. I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. Salvation doesn't depend on you, thank God. You know, I mean, you know, God chose us. You understand? So when these things begin to happen, or I don't know, God knows. He knows what he did. He knows why he came. He knows what he provided for us. And he wants you to know that. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Stop stumbling and bumbling and changing all these words and letting the enemy put little things in there and do this and that. But, you know, just begin to stand for me. Now, I don't know about you, but when we talk about an appointment, it really is important that, you know, we show up. You got to show up to an appointment in order to get something done. And God's trying to do that, I think, on an everyday basis. Moment to moment, God wants to be able to get to us and speak to us and lead us. And Acts chapter 22. And I want to start in verse 9, read verses 9 and 10. It says this, and those who were with me, this is Paul explaining what had happened on the road to Damascus. We all know that, you know, he was a persecutor and doing things against God. But he said, and those who were with me saw the light to be sure. In other words, what happened, I mean, all of a sudden, bingo, this light blasts and all of a sudden he gets knocked off this donkey. And they're all there. They knew this for sure. It wasn't some figment of someone's imagination. But they did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to them. And oh man, that hit me. That's so many people today. They're in the midst of sometimes things in Christianity and they'll go to a service and all that stuff and they'll hear, but they don't understand. God's trying to lead us. God's trying to direct us. God's trying to put something inside us that it doesn't depend on us, but God wants to be close. He paid a price once and for all, and that price, he said, was enough. And so, you know, all these things begin to take place, and they didn't understand. And it says, and then he goes, what shall I do? Isn't that something how when suddenly a man that ends up following God, the first thing he asks is when he gets knocked off his horse, what shall I do? In other words, see, there's always something to do. And if you do nothing, you're going nowhere. That's what God wants us. There's always something to do. And so he said, what shall I do? Well, that's a good question that I think every one of us should be asking. And the Lord said to me, get up. Hey, guys, that's what you're doing in Teen Challenge, right? Getting up. Some of you that have been struggling, things not... get up. You understand? Don't keep hashing over the same old garbage in your mind. Get up. Get up from there. God's called us to a higher purpose. And then it says, go. And now see, once we get up there, there's somewhere to go. There's a specific destination that God is trying to get each one of our lives to. That isn't just him. God is trying to take us somewhere. It isn't just to work every day, 40 hours a week, maybe 60, I don't know. That isn't the purpose of God's life, just to make your life some thing that isn't joyous. You understand? God has purpose. And as we begin to listen, we begin to find out. He says, go to Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to what? You know, Christians don't do much. You tell, what's the problem in the church? Well, that's probably one of the biggest. They're not doing what God told them to do. They're not loving. They're not serving. They're not giving. You understand? I mean, you know, when I think about some of this stuff, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, you know us. We don't preach about money. We don't hammer on it. We take offerings on Sunday. But you know, it's important that you got people sometimes that are really poor, really hurting. And they're struggling. They've been struggling, always struggling. But if you were to ask them, sorry, Lord, if this is a little hard, they know every free thing in town. They know where to get everything that could possibly be possible. And I go, where did you ever get all that? Well, they research it. And it's free. But they never give anything. And that's why they stay where they're at. Because for the measure you measure out, it shall be measured to you. Pressed down, running over. They never share anything. They're always looking to get something. Where can I go to get something? Where can I go? Where did you get that? I'll go there. And when we learn to give, whether it's love or forgiveness or anything, whether it's a little bit of cash sometimes, even though it squeezes something a little, God will never, you know. Seth, he's the cheapest one I know, cheaper than his dad. And yet, they've always done really good at giving. And God has always met their needs. And sometimes he's probably made 1/16 of what his brother makes, but he's always made it. Isn't that something? Who did that? God. God did. And so, you know, you'll never outgive God. And if you never get to the place where he says, go and do, then something happens. See, we don't have a measure that goes out. We're looking for love, but we're not loving on anybody. We're always looking for someone to accept us, and we're not necessarily accepting. Oh, you know, he's a little weird, you know. yeah, we're all a little weird. I don't think there's not a character in this room. Sorry, Lord. But, you know, I mean, Paul, he was a character. Peter was a character. You look at some of these guys, they're characters. And you know, and sometimes they did things that were just unlovable. And yet, Jesus always was able to bring them to a place where they loved one another. And they would walk in harmony. It would always bring back into focus. But, you know, it says, you have been appointed to do. In other words, he didn't say you've just been appointed to get saved, get delivered, get healed. But in the process, there's things that God has called us to do. You agree with that? Amen. All right. Well, we're going to find some things for you, you know. We get down there just a little bit in Acts chapter 22 and verse 14. It says this. And he said, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know. Yeah. 14. The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. You know, God speaks, he says, in many ways. I mean, I've had crazy things happen to me. And God speaks in many ways, but it's the utterances of God. And God wants you to know that he wants you to know his will for your life. He wants you to know. And he's going to speak in many different ways. And, you know, he wants to have this appointment where we begin to talk to him and we begin to reason with him, we begin to agree with him. But you got to show up for that appointment. If you want to be fixed, you got to show up. God can do some things in your life. We'll get to share a little bit more of that. But he wants you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he wants you to know. In the book of Psalms 146 and verse 5, it says, how blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. You know, I think about this, that how blessed is the one whose God is the Lord. You got to make him God. You got to make him Lord. See, there's certain things that as we begin to show up, You know, we all begin to realize that sometimes he takes second place, doesn't he? Sometimes these things begin to happen, and then when we begin to find out exactly what we're supposed to do, then God begins to just kind of fill our lives with things that we've always desired and longed for. And it talks about he wants us to know his will and to see his righteous one, to hear his utterances from his mouth. I don't know about you, but it's really an important thing that we begin to do that. And like we said before, when it comes time, then, you know, we have to make that appointment, and then we have to show up. You know, we've made an appointment with the Lord every morning early. We get up, but no matter what it is, I get up. If I got to leave at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to get up at 1 o'clock. I'm going to spend time with God. Got an appointment. Sometimes it's a little harder to show up, even though you're reading. But he wants us to show up. You understand? I mean, he wants us to kind of fight through some of the distractions of what's going on in our life. And he wants us to begin to know. I don't know about you. He says that everything isn't always going to be peaceful. And, you know, and yet sometimes God, he's bringing us into that place. And so, you know, what are some of the ways that we can keep the Lord in the first place in our life? God wants to be first in our life. And he begins to talk about some different things. And, you know, when we think about Jesus came and he was born to save us, well, what did he save us from? Sin? The devil? He saved me from me. Like I said, that's about as close to the devil as you can get without being one. Was definitely shaking hands with them. And so God wants us to be able to be free. And so he wants to have that first place. So we come to this place in Colossians chapter 1. He is also the head of the body, the church. We want to make him head. I think God has done some precious things here in this place with a lot of people. I think we've got a freedom that there's not in a lot of places, but God wants to be first. He wants to be the head of the church. Doesn't want some man or some board or some, you know, group just controlling this church. He wants to be the head of the church. And that works through love and sometimes disagreement and agreement and whatever it might be. But God wants to be head. And it's really nice when he is head. I don't know about you. We're getting a little closer to being family, and it's getting to be more fun. And, you know, God's getting to be more of a head. I think he needs to be more of a head. That doesn't mean you just turn it into chaos. That's not what he's looking for. And yet, at the same time, you know, it says, And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is. That's what he came to be. He came to pay that price. He's the firstborn from the dead. So that he himself will come to have first place in what? Everything. Now, I want to tell you, I found it out many, many times in many ways that if he's not first, it's not going to necessarily go well. I told you stories before. I mean, I can tell you a lot of stories, but, you know, just like anything else, you know, I mean, you know, God says he gave me a wife, a helpmate. And God says that, you know, he wants us to live in agreement as one. And he says, I'm not to lord over and do all these things. And yet, you know, my wife, she's very good at being in her place and all these things, but, you know, she's going to tell me things. And sometimes she tells me things and I don't want to listen. But I'll tell you what, if God told her to tell me and I don't listen, I've found out it don't work well. You know, I mean, there's been times, like I said, I had some equipment out there. I wanted to get it. She says, well, did you pray about it? I said, what for? I want it. She goes, I really think you should pray about it. And I you know, that was it. I didn't. She said, did you pray about it? Then she goes on after. I don't need to pray about it. I want it. I'm going to get it. Now, I'll tell you what. I did it. I didn't listen. I didn't say, well, God, you gave her as a check valve or any other kind of thing. I just, I'm going to do what I want to do. That was one of many hindrances in my life for a long time. That thing became a big pain in the bazoo. It made me work and strive and do things I didn't want to do. At times, I didn't want to do them, and it became a financial drain that I wished I had never done. But by the grace of God, we got through it. But you know, if I would have listened at my appointed time, I would have never went there. You know, I mean, you can learn how the hard way, or you can learn the easy way. You know what I'm saying? But God is always speaking. He's always there. And so he's there to have first place in everything. And we're going to go on from there a little bit. But it's the Father's good pleasure, it says, for all the fullness to dwell in him. And so, you know, God made him Lord of all. Jesus is Lord. He's meant to have first place. God made him that way. Now, I want to turn in the Old Testament to Isaiah. This is really a good little chapter, Isaiah 58. I'm going to read just verse 1, and then I'm going to jump down. But it says, cry loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgressions and to the house of Jacob their sins. How many know that, you know, God doesn't want us just beating on people or anything else? But I'll tell you what, you know, sometimes we never let people know that what they're going to do, what they're just saying and what they're going to do isn't going to work. We just kind of, well, you know, God, you know, we just kind of worm out of being that, shout it loud. I mean, God wants, you know, I don't know about you, but when a man, you know, if we can turn someone from their way, it's a precious thing for God. And you know, that's what he wants us to do. I mean, sin is sin. Why is America in the condition it is when the church used to be the head of the nation? They never cried against sin. They never reminded people that it's not going to work out. It's not going to be good for you. The end result is not going to be good. And so he says these things. And then we're going to go on. We're going to jump down to verse 6 in Isaiah 58. I love these verses. It says, is this not the fast which I chose to you, to loose the bonds of the wicked, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? How many know that right there, you know, you're saying, well, what did Jesus come for? Well, he came to raise us up to be able to understand that God says, I've got some things for you to do. I want you to go to a few places. I want you to be able to speak the truth in love in a way where freedom can begin to reign. And it says, you know, that this is the kind of fast that God has chosen for us. And so, you know, like I said, how are some of the ways that we can keep Jesus in first place, you know, if we never do anything? And it goes on, it says in verse 7, is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into the house? And when you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? You know, it's amazing how, you know, we're sitting in New York, and, you know, we got a women's program, men's program. We're out on the streets 5 nights a week. We got these things going on. And we're just church, probably only about 200. And you know, we got these rehabs going, and we care. And so all of a sudden, early in the morning, I mean, 5 o'clock in the morning, they're beating on the door, and they got this girl. And now this girl, she doesn't have anywhere to go. They're asking us to take her in. And so, well, come on in and begin to talk to them a little bit. Now here, this girl was in this church that this gal is, she's a counselor. This girl just sat all night long in the office of the church, and no one would take her in. So they finally call us, you know, they're in another part of the city. And so all night long she's in rejection, you know what I'm saying? And here this church that she went to a special meeting that the church was doing, their 9th anniversary. She was part of that church for years. She was even part of the ministry team, her and her husband. But her husband left her, and she began to get on drugs for about, oh, I don't know, maybe a year, really down and out. And, you know, I thought about it. I thought, man, here they got a church of 900, church with a lot of money. Not one person in that church can take her in. I said, man, we'll take her. We're going to take her, and we're going to love her. That's what it's all about. It's all about, you know, that's what Jesus doesn't want you to find some place where I can freely do this, where it's of no hurt or hindrance to me. God wants us to know how to give. Now, I understand that everybody can't move into your house. I understand that. But there still is so much that we could do. You know, somebody could have at least brought her home and sat with her and then brought her there. She had to sit in an office all night long on a chair. She'd been rejected by the husband. She's been rejected by the church. She's been rejected by, and I'm thinking, you know, and Jesus totally loves her. A long story short, you know she made it, but it takes healing. It takes a healing process. It takes people to minister love and mercy and grace so that she can get back up on her feet, that she can begin to do these things. And so these are some of the things God has called us to do. And it goes on. It says in verse 8, then your light will break forth like the dawn. When? Then. Not before. Then. And your recovery, whose recovery? Your recovery. Will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. How many want God to be in control? Go before him. Take care of the business. I'll tell you, when you're about God's business, he's going to take care of your business. That's part of the process. It goes on and it says in verse 9, then you will call when? Then you will call and the Lord will answer. Well, you know, I've prayed a lot. I've done a lot of praying and it just seems like God don't hear me. Better make another appointment. You better show up, and you need to start to listen. Because God is always speaking. Always speaking in the way in which we should go. He never stops. And so then it goes on, it says, and he will answer, and you will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, and the pointing of the finger, and the speaking of wickedness. Whoa. Come on, man. We got a couple of guys in the house, you know. When you live together, there can be some friction, to say the least. And you know what does God say to do with friction? Stop pointing the finger. And everything will be taken care of. Amen. That's what happens, you know, a little this, a little of that, a little of this, a little of that. And suddenly, I mean, you're just frustrated in your own place of stay. That's not what God meant. You're to be a peacemaker. You're to bring in joy. You're to stop pointing and speaking and doing these things that aren't uplifting. Verse 10, and if you give yourself to the hungry and to satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday. All your problems are going to start to be solved because you're concerned with putting Jesus first. And the Lord will continually guide you. Satisfy the desires in the scorching places. I'll tell you what, if you're going through some dry places, find out what it means to go and find out what it means to do. What would you have me do? Just like Paul said, see? And he says, and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like springs of water whose water will not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. I'll tell you what, we got some rebuilding to do in our country. and you will rise up the age-old foundations. Do you believe that stuff, what's just being said? You believe that God can do these things? You know, God called us to believe, called us to have faith. And you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets. Man, we need some help in these streets. In which to dwell, keeping the Sabbath. Okay, here we go again. Now, there's all these other things you just said. Now we're getting into another one. I love this verse. Verse 13. If because of the Sabbath, what's the Sabbath? I don't want to just be up here babbling like a preacher. And just to try to get people to come, I want people to come and be real. I want them to be who God called them to be so that we can change something in this place. That's what God is calling. It says, and because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word. I'll tell you what, the Sabbath is a day that God wants. Didn't say you can't go on vacation. Didn't say you can't visit a relative in another place. But, you know, the Sabbath hasn't become a holy thing anymore. It hasn't become a place where people resist their own will. They do whatever they want when they want. And if church is okay, it's okay. And if it ain't okay, it ain't okay then. And that's not God first. You know, I mean, so, you know, what did Jesus come for? He came and set us free. Not just to celebrate Christmas. He came that we can be what God meant us to be. And it says, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. See, there's promises in God. If you'll do some of these things that God says, there's promises there. And I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How many know that when we come to that place where we begin to see some of these things, I'll tell you what, God spoke, and it's just finished. And so, you know, we think about some of these things, and you know, we can get into the, I don't know, there's just so many things in these verses that it's a precious thing. You know, in Exodus 20 verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. You know, the Sabbath day is a precious day. And God wants us to do some good things, not just on the Sabbath day, but every day. And then the Bible says this, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable. Well, profitable to those that begin to honor the word of God. It becomes something precious. It goes on. In 2 Timothy 3:14, it says, you, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Like we said before, all scriptures inspired by God, profitable for reproof and correction and training in righteousness. We go on to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. It says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I don't know about you, but I've found out that no matter what, the word of God never comes back void. Whether Harley agrees with it or disagrees with it, it never comes back void. When I begin to agree with it, something begins to happen in my life where it seems like God begins to engage and he begins to do some things that I can't do. He begins to create circumstances and situations that I've never been able to. And so I know that his word never comes back void. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 says this, thus says the Lord, stand by the way and see and ask for the ancient paths. How many know that, You know, how many times have you heard, well, that's Old Testament, or you know, that's, you know, you guys just aren't into the modern things. And I've had so many preachers come and tell us that, you know, we're not doing it right. You don't preach about sin on Sunday. You got to catch your fish before you clean them. When God says, shout, he talks about talking about sin. He talks about helping people out of sin by loving them and accepting them and encourages them to walk with God. And you know, we get to these places where, you know, he talks about the ancient past. It says, where the good way is, walk in it. How many know that you can't just sit in a pew? You got to walk in it. There's ways that God called us to walk in our life and in our families and in our workplace. And it says, and you will find rest for your souls. I want to tell you, there's more people that don't have rest for their souls in churches today. It's unbelievable. And yet God came to give us rest for our souls. And it all comes down to, you know, like Paul said, as he got knocked down. Boy, I tell you what shall I do? He said, get up. Now go, and someone's going to tell you what to do. God's going to lead you. God's going to raise you up. God's going to strengthen you. God's going to anoint you. God's going to show you how. God's going to give you joy in all of it that you never had. God's going to show you things that you always long for. And you will find rest for your souls. But you know, at the end of that verse, it says this. But they said, we will not walk in it. You know, he was talking to a rebellious people. I don't want to be a rebellious person anymore. I found that Harley's rebellion never led him into anything but discontentment, arguments, sleeplessness. We can go on. But God wants us to have this abundance. He wants us to have these things as we begin to talk about, we engage in this fast that God called. God's word, I can say this, never gets old, never goes out of date. Never goes out of date. It always has directions in the way to go. That's why we encourage you, you know, not just to listen to a message, but to make appointments with God every day. To show up on those appointments. Because God is going to take you through this life in a way that you always wanted. But it's not your way. It's His way. God called you for a purpose. And as we begin to figure out, like we said, we begin to figure out that purpose, then life begins to become easier. And it, our life becomes like this well-watered garden, even in a drought. His water don't stop. And so, you know, the source of real life is when, you know, Jesus came, but what he came to be is a Savior, and He came to be first in everything. In your marriage, in raising your kids, in coming in and going out, He meant to be first in everything. That's a precious thing. Christmas is a blessed time to begin to realize, God, I'm gonna take these next few days and I'm gonna say, what would you have me do? And then do that. I mean, you might have made all these plans already, but go back to the planning table, make an appointment with God and say, God, what would you have me do? I mean, He might have you want to go talk to somebody that you kind of hurt way back when before you ever go anywhere. He might have all these different things, but I know He always leads us in a good place. And I love what God does. He's a precious God. Amen? I guess we're done. Clinton. Oh, yeah. Friday, 5:30.